We are a spoiled generation. We're just flat out spoiled. And even those of you who say, you know, you're that person that says, look at all those spoiled people. Look at all the stuff they need. I can live without that stuff. I don't need that stuff. I live just fine without that stuff. And maybe you're that person. Maybe you're that person. You don't have to keep up with Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Even you are spoiled. That's how bad it is. Every one of us are spoiled. I am completely confident in that statement that every single one of us in this room, we are spoiled rotten. I believe that is absolutely true. For us, we've been given so much, or we've earned so much, or maybe it's a combination of the two. Maybe somewhere in the middle of that combination, that's where a lot of us lie, where you've been given a lot or you've earned a lot. Somehow you've accumulated stuff and status. You've earned for yourself or been given a rep in a car or a house to go with that reputation. The danger of being given a lot and earning a lot is that inevitably, if it is left untended to, it will spoil you. And spoil to the point that we adopt an attitude. And it's called the attitude of entitlement. That attitude of entitlement we're summing up this morning in one word in light of our series called Give. That word is gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's the attitude of entitlement. Could have used mine, but it wouldn't have fit with the series. Give. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Since we have things, we believe that we are deserving of them. I have earned this thing, therefore I deserve it. I have been given this thing, therefore I deserve it. And the really scary thing is, and now this is like the third level of scary that I've hit already just in the few minutes I've been talking. And you guys probably don't even realize how many layers of scary that we've jumped through. Let me go back through. Okay, layer one, scary. We are spoiled, every single one of us. Layer two, scary. We have this attitude of entitlement. And in level three, scary. And this is just like, I think this is like more like level six or seven, but I don't know what's in between, so we're just going to call it three. This level of scary is a scary, and the truth, that we're just all right with it. We have this strange, perverted acceptance that, yeah, it's all right. I'm spoiled. I have an attitude of entitlement, and I'm okay with it. We don't realize the danger of this attitude. This attitude will take a 25-year marriage to divorce court. This attitude severs relationships between parents and children. It divides siblings. It ruins friendships. This attitude takes people to the point that they are willing to sacrifice and risk everything in order to keep up with what they feel they deserve. In order to maintain the status that they have earned. This attitude leads to financial meltdown. Look at our economy. Look at the world around us. We didn't get here because we're a society of selfless, self-sacrificing people. Our government is in debt. Our businesses are in debt. Our banks, the people that have the money, they're in debt. We as individuals, we are in debt, and it is because of this attitude. This attitude of entitlement. You are chained to your bills and your debts because of this attitude of entitlement. Stress caused by this attitude can be linked to heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, high blood pressure, weakened immune systems, loss of sleep, eating disorders. All of those can be linked through stress, and found at the core is this attitude of entitlement. Dishonesty at work. Lying to a customer or lying to your boss because you're afraid that what you feel you deserve, you're not going to get unless you take extreme measures to get it. This attitude of entitlement has a hold on you. You don't give financially to God because of this attitude of entitlement. Some of you are thinking, man, you just crossed the line. I was with you until then, but you just, well, I'm crossing the line. It's the truth. You don't give to God because of this attitude of entitlement. Either indirectly, because of the attitude has got you so financially strapped that you don't feel like you have a penny to spare. Or what's more scary, and I mean, we're hitting like 10, 11 levels of darkness here in this nightmare of scariness. Is it very directly, if you were honest with yourself and bold enough to confess this, you believe that you deserve your money more than God does? That's the attitude of entitlement. Please tell me you see the seriousness of this attitude. You won't help your fellow man, someone who is in need, because you have a mortgage on a vacation house, or maybe you just have cable TV that costs $100 a month so you can get all the sport channels. You won't take a little time out of your schedule for someone who needs you simply because it's that, your schedule. And you are entitled to what you have planned and what you have set out to do. In fact, you can trace the very existence of sin to this attitude. Satan convinced Eve that she was entitled to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered the world. Eve convinced Adam that he was entitled to eat the fruit also. Cain, the first murderer in the Bible, he didn't present a sacrifice that was as pleasing as his brother Abel. He felt entitled to the same response from God, even though his sacrifice was not the same. And out of jealousy, he killed his brother Abel because he felt entitled to gain a certain response from God. Jacob swindled his very own twin brother and lied to his father on his father's deathbed because he felt entitled to the birthright and the blessing of the firstborn. You go through the Bible, you go throughout the Old Testament and different stories we read, you look throughout history, and every time this attitude of entitlement rears its ugly head, it's always bad. It's always destructive. It's always evil. It's always sin. Yet for some reason, we have it, and we're okay with it. This should not be, church. This attitude is improper for God's holy people. You are above this attitude. It is flat out wrong for us to tolerate this attitude in our life. So what do we do about it? Here's the hope. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I told you guys last week we were going to be camping out in Philippians chapter 4. If you go into your New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go through Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then start slowing down, you hit some smaller books. Hit Galatians, Ephesians, then slow down, Philippians. If you hit Colossians, you've gone just a little too far. If you're in Revelation, start over, okay? You'll catch up with me on the second point. While you're turning there, I want to share with you that contentment is the arch rival of entitlement. Contentment is the attitude that we should be striving for, the attitude that we should be shooting for, because contentment is freeing. There's freedom in contentment. Entitlement is addictive. You know it to be true. The things we've already shared this morning support that. You have experienced it in your life. You've watched other people, if they have experienced the bondage, the addiction. Contentment is freeing. Let's see what Paul says here as he writes to us from prison. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says, I rejoice greatly. Remember, from prison. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. See, contentment is independent of circumstances. Entitlement, as we compare these two, compare and contrast, it is dependent on circumstances. When you learn contentment, it enables you to elevate above your situation, above your circumstances, and no matter where you are, what's going on in your life, if you're in need or if you've got everything you need, if you have an abundance, If you're rich or you're poor, no matter where you are on the spectrum of life, once you learn contentment, it's independent of your circumstances and you can rise above it. But you know, entitlement chains you to your circumstances. It chains you to your situation. And as your situation and your circumstances change, as you've bought into this attitude of entitlement, so does your need to get other stuff or more stuff or different stuff or change your status. And it's imprisoning. And it's dependent on your circumstances, which are always changing. Contentment is prefaced by humility, where entitlement is prefaced by pride. Paul wrote Philippians while he was in prison. He says, I rejoice from prison. He says, I'm not in need. He's in prison. That takes a great deal of humility to learn that kind of contentment, to sit in prison unjustly, fearing that they would take your life, and saying, I'm not in need. I got everything I need. That's humble. He wouldn't have been able to say that if he would have felt that his physical freedom was something that was deserved to him because of his pride. Paul was humble, and humility is one of the cornerstones of contentment. Let's continue reading here, verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says here that he's learned the secret of being content. Now, it's not a secret because it's something that God has kept from us. It's not something that's hidden from us. It's simply a secret because it's not a popular choice in our world that we live in. 2,000 years ago when Paul was writing this, and today in our society, as we all sit here together in the same boat, it's not easily seen in our world. So if we were kind of to reword this to get Paul's meaning, what Paul is saying is that contentment is a mystery to our society, whereas entitlement is a standard in our society. I remember in college playing pickup soccer. We would go down to the gym every Saturday morning, and the Saturday mornings when I wasn't on tour with one of the groups or wasn't running home, which happened very seldom. We would go down there and we'd play hours of soccer. Now, I had a hard time waking up for an 8 o'clock class, and that was awful for me. Those of you who know me well know I have a difficult time with mornings. But every Saturday, I don't care how late I was up Friday night, boy, I was down there and I was playing soccer. And we loved it. We had a great time. And we would have, sometimes we would have pennies. Do you guys know what pennies are? They're little mesh, little like vests that you pull on over top of your shirt and they're all one color. So one team would have to wear the pennies, the yellow pennies, and the other team wouldn't have the pennies on. And you wore those so that you could distinguish between teams. And you had, sometimes you'd go down there and we'd play shirts and skins, which, you know, if you had a girl on your team, then of course you were shirts. We were a Christian college. Come on, people. But we would do that to distinguish between the teams because we didn't have jerseys. And it was easier to see who is on your team and who must suffer defeat. That's what that meant to me. You know, we've heard of voodoo in Haiti, witchcraft. We've heard of outright government persecution to missionaries that we support in India and Egypt. We hear about the attacks on the church from these various societies, and the colors of the jerseys are crystal clear. There's no doubt who's on what team. How do we miss this one, church? This attitude of entitlement overrides our genuine contentment. Why can we not see that this attitude of entitlement is evil? Put a penny on it. Put a jersey on it. Understand it is not on your team. The attitude of entitlement is evil. It is from the enemy. It's an attitude that God does not want for his people. Now going back, we'll get back to the chart. Okay, some of you guys, this is going to really freak you out because we're not doing things in order. We'll get back to the chart. Let's skip down to the bullets down there. I want to give you guys some encouragement. This attitude that we all have, that we have allowed to have a foothold in our lives, it is conquerable. And that's good news. That's real good news. The attitude of entitlement is conquered by learning contentment. The attitude of entitlement is conquered by learning contentment. If you really want to fight this demon in your life, you're going to need to learn contentment. Let's look at the very next verse here in Philippians. It's Philippians 4:13. This is probably the most misquoted verse in the Bible. And it is annoying to even know a little bit about the Bible, to see this verse plastered and used in so many different ways where it's not really intended. You see this verse on t-shirts and on bumper stickers and on coffee mugs and on all sorts of other Christian. It's a very marketable verse. Let's read this verse. Some of you are going to recognize this verse and you're going to say, oh, that's where that is. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Right? How many of you guys have heard that verse? You've seen it on bumper stickers. You've seen it in greeting cards. People put it as their status in Facebook when they're trying to get a job. It's become Ronco's Bible verse. It's like people use this verse for infomercials. Hey, if you'd like to quit smoking in 5 days or less, guess what? I've got a verse for you. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Right? Your boss dumps a huge pile of papers on your desk and says, hey, I want these filed before you leave. And you look at the clock and it's 4:45. And you want to tell your boss just where he can stick those papers, but you don't have the courage to do so. Well, I've got a verse for you. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Just quote that verse and you'll have the energy and the confidence to be able to tell your boss off. Ever wanted to time travel? Well, guess what? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Wouldn't it be cool to fly like Superman? Just pull this verse out and start flying. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. People use this verse that way. I can do everything. Say this with me. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Let's back up a little bit. I want to reread the verses we've already studied. I want you to understand the context of this verse because it is powerful to our subject today. Verse 10, backing all the way back up. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty, and I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You see it? This verse is talking about the strength to learn contentment. Yes, I believe God can help you quit smoking. 5 days or less, I don't know. I believe he helps us out in many different areas. But if we want context on this verse, this is what this verse is specifically talking about. It's about learning contentment. It's about battling entitlement. And he's saying that the strength to learn contentment comes directly from God. That's good news. We probably ought to write that down, you think? The strength to learn contentment comes directly from God. Learning contentment is in your grasp. It is something you can do. Write that down. Fill out that last little bullet that we've got down there at the bottom of the page. I can learn contentment. Because it is God's strength that enables me to do this attitude shift. God's strength enables this attitude shift. God has empowered you to learn contentment. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's what that verse is talking about. It's talking about contentment. Now let's go back up and finish our chart. Contentment is a choice. As is entitlement. Entitlement is a choice. You are going to choose one or the other on a daily basis. That's truth. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the righteous attitude of a Christian? That God's very own strength has enabled you to have this attitude of contentment? Or are you going to choose the evil attitude of the selfish world around us? It's your choice. There's something else that these two have in common. Contentment is learned, just as entitlement is learned. If you have the attitude of entitlement, it's because you were taught the attitude of entitlement. Parents, grandparents, shame on us. We have taught our children the attitude of entitlement. And we've given them the same chains that we have been bound to most of our lives. Our society reinforces it. It teaches this attitude. Paul, twice in this little passage we just read, states that contentment is something that is learned. You have to learn contentment. We know that God gives you the strength to learn it. You can learn it, church. You should learn it. You must learn it. This is very important for many reasons, but the biggest reason is this one that I'm going to share. And once again, I will say what I said last week. Do not pack up. You need to have full concentration on this last section, because this covers the scariest, the darkest element of this attitude of entitlement. Stated so we can write it down, and then I'll break it down a little bit. Is that contentment reflects our salvation. That's a good thing. Entitlement threatens our salvation. Write that down. You can put your pens down, keep your Bibles open, your bulletin notes there. Don't distract your neighbor. Salvation is a gift. It's not something we deserve. It's not something that we can earn. When we allow our hearts to engage and entertain and support this attitude of entitlement, it messes with our psychology. And here's the problem. We get into a mode of thinking that everything we have and everything that's worth having and everything that's good and everything that's going to benefit me is something that I have earned or something that I have deserved, something that I've gained in some way because of who I am. And we gain this understanding that somehow I need to earn salvation. Somehow I need to do something that makes me deserving of salvation. And that's a scary place to be. Because no matter how you cut it, you miss the cut. No matter what you do, you cannot earn it. We will never be good enough to earn salvation. That's where the true danger of this attitude lies. If you have bought into this attitude of entitlement, and everything you are, everything you have, everything that's worth having is because somehow in your greatness you've obtained it, then how are you ever going to truly accept the free gift of salvation? Are you tracking with me? This is thick. But I think it's very important for us to understand this. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't accept salvation and hang on to this attitude of entitlement. They are contradictory to each other. Now, if you have already accepted salvation, if you have already understood the importance of salvation, the understanding that you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, then if you have embraced that, then how can you embrace that and hang on to an attitude of entitlement when you know that the very thing that you need, the thing that you most need in all this life, you've already got? And you didn't deserve it, and you didn't earn it. How can you hang on to an entitlement attitude when you really realize that what you have is salvation. I actually think that entitlement is a twisted understanding of grace. See, God has given us so many things out of grace. Spiritual gifts, physical gifts, blessings, encouragement, friends, church family. At the top of that list, God has given us the gift of salvation. The problem is that oftentimes we forget that what we have is because of God's grace, and we somehow look at the things that we have and the status that we have and the friends that we have and the church that we have, and somehow we think that it's because of something that we've done. And slowly we start easing God out of the picture. And then we expect to gain things based on who we are. The problem is that every good thing you have, every good thing that you've experienced, is not because of what you've done. It's not because of who you are. Every good thing you have is simply because of what God has done and who God is. We've gotten it backwards. We've gotten it twisted. And this morning is the day to untwist it, church. You need this freedom. God did not save you or offer you salvation because of who you are. God doesn't love you because you're just so darn cute. He doesn't love you because you're adorable. God doesn't want to spend time with you because you have some quality that he desperately needs. The truth is that God has offered you salvation simply based on who he is. That's what he does. God loves you not because you're lovable, but because God is love. It's who he is. It's his person. It is what he does. Now, you might be offended about this because you're thinking, I'm special. And God loves me because I'm a great person. And if you're feeling these feelings of discord, that is evidence that the attitude of entitlement has bitten into your heart. Don't let it take control. Feel the freedom this morning of the contentment. And just be content that God wants to save you because God wants to save you. It has nothing to do with you. Be content with that. That's freeing. That's a wonderful statement. God loves you. Be content with that. Just the simplicity. God loves me. Don't take it any further. God loves me because of who he is. Be content with that. Don't feel like you're entitled to deserve it or earn it. Be content with the simplicity that God just loves you. It's all about who he is. It's not about who we are. Lose the attitude of entitlement, church. Learn the attitude of contentment and be free. Make that choice today.